Welcome to the We Are The Church podcast, hosted by me, Adam, and my beautiful wife, Brianna. Throughout the podcast, you'll hear and experience people's stories of faith in action to encourage, strengthen, and inspire you.
Hear the real-life stories of people from Guymere Baptist Church and our local community. There will be a few laughs, serious chats, and amazing encounters with God through the love and hope of Jesus Christ. We pray that this podcast reaches you on a deep level and encourages you on your own journey of discovery and faith.
We've got our guest with us, Matt Tomlin. What a legend.
Good evening, everyone. Or should I say, hello, g'day. Whatever time you're listening to this, I've got no idea what time you're listening to this. So it could be good morning, could be good evening, it could be good night.
We'll take either of those, whichever works. So could you please tell us a bit about yourself, Matt? Something we might not know.
Well, where do I start? Something that you would like to know about me. Well, just to give you a brief overview of who I am, I am someone who's been attending Guymere Baptist Church for about eight years now, I believe. I lose track of time now that I've got four young daughters. And since
another part.
Yeah. I'm a dad of four young girls, and they're awesome. Amy, Waverly, Quilla, and Cedar. Awesome. My wife, who is, you know, an amazing woman, Mel Tomlin. You would know her. Some of you would know her.
Yep.
And so we've been coming to Guymere for a while now. I'm a school teacher. I work at Innaburra School over at Bangor.
How long have you been there now?
I've been at Innaburra for nearly 2 years now. This is my second year at Innaburra. Before that, I was at St. George Christian School for quite a long time. And before I was a school teacher, while I was a school teacher even, I dabbled in a few different occupations. I was working in outdoor education down at the Youth Works campsites. I was doing some gospel hip hop.
That's what we're talking about. I remember those days.
Yeah. So back in the day, I was
Levi Pax.
Levi Pax.
Oh, Pax. That's right.
Yeah, Levi Pax, which Pax means peace in Latin. So
nice.
There's a connection there, which we may go there to. But I love sports. I love movies. I love music.
If you had to pick a genre, what kind of movie and music are you into?
Okay, movie. I love a good thriller. Definitely not a horror. Like, I can't go that end of the
too
spectrum.
Gory.
That's too. Yeah. Nah, I don't like any of that stuff. But so, like, a psychological thriller, a good suspenseful film,
nice.
or a good drama,
edgy seat that, type stuff.
Yeah, that or a really good drama that just gets you thinking, or even just a heartfelt movie. I'm not ashamed to say that I have teared up in many movies.
Sounds like someone else I know.
Oh, come on.
I'll always blame the air conditioning.
Sounds like Adam.
There's something in my eye. There's something in my eye. I got some popcorn in my eye.
Yeah, some popcorn salt.
Oh, I love that though. All the feels. It's a good thing.
Love it.
That's
a good film, but also love music, love sport, love people. Love my family, love my church family. So, yeah, I mean, there's a whole bunch of stuff in between all of that that I could tell you so many stories from my 44 years on the planet. But that's a little snapshot into who I am. Those who know me know there's a lot more to the picture. But that's a bit of a brief overview.
That's great.
Nice.
Well, actually, that's a nice segue, Matt. So the next question is. Is there a book, movie, or a series that has actually influenced you in your faith journey?
Ooh, recently or over the years? I've got one recently that's my wife Mel and I have been into a bit, and some of you may have heard of it. It's the Chosen series.
Yep, heard of that.
Yeah. I don't know if you've watched any of the episodes. There's been two seasons come out so far, and that they're planning to do, I believe, 7 or 8 series. So it's all crowdfunded. It's not on Netflix or anything like that. But it's free, but you can actually gift the series to other people if you want. But it's a really interesting series where obviously Jesus is the focus of the series, but a big other focus of the series is the disciples and the chosen people that are surrounding him in his ministry. And it, there's not lots of biblical content, as in like long sections of scripture that are spoken in the show, but it's kind of the in-between stuff that really helps you to think about the disciples as, you know, real people. And, so it's definitely, it's made me want to go back and read certain sections of scripture.
Oh, so it gets you into the Bible. That's
It's made me go back and, you know.
Just fact check?
It's pretty accurate to scripture, but it makes you, like, for example, it made me go back and have a look at the Sermon on the Mount because it kind of leads into that section. So that's one show that my wife and I have watched the first two seasons of and just been inspired to, you know, go back to certain scriptures in the New Testament, in the Gospels, and really think about, because I think sometimes we separate the writers of the Gospels, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John as these, you know, I find it hard sometimes to see them the way they possibly truly could have been. I can imagine it, but a lot of the thinking in this show is just to show that their rawness as, you know, just regular people that Jesus chose, you know, fishermen, tax collectors.
Levi Pax.
TC, the tax collector. Yeah. That's one show. Obviously there's, you know, a whole bunch of other shows and books that I like. I'm just trying to think of a book.
You can't do the cop-out and say the Bible.
No, I won't say that.
It is a good book, but.
There is other Christian material out there.
So
The Chosen, where, like, is that on one of the streaming services or?
No, it's not actually. So it's, I think they wanted to make it a crowdfunded project. And so it's got its own website, but you can download it as an app on your device and then stream it through the app. And it's, you don't have to pay for it. So, I mean,
I think you can cast it to your TV as
well. You can actually, you can also watch it like on your TV through the website.
Oh, sure.
It's a little bit clunkier than, say, watching Netflix or something like that, but it's definitely well worth a watch. It really gets you thinking.
And it really brings it to life by the sounds of it. It makes it a bit more relatable.
You see Jesus in his dealings with people. Obviously, he is Jesus and he's the Son of God. And there's a bit of the thing that I like about the show is you see that Jesus having a real sense of humor, which is really cool because I really do believe that we don't always naturally think about that when we're reading scriptures to look for the humor of our Lord and Savior or even our Creator, you know, like.
Yeah, well, he used hyperbole and people like, and that can be humor in a way.
Absolutely. Sarcasm.
Sarcasm or exaggeration. He probably didn't exaggerate as a lie, but he would exaggerate certain aspects to make a point.
Yeah,
you know, absolutely. Like a camel through a needle as an example, you know.
Stuff like that. Like, using hyperbole to, good save there. I nearly dropped my coffee for the
look out
for the listeners at home. Don't drop your coffee on the laptop. That's for sure. Good save. I just like the fact that Jesus chose and asked regular people, just common people, just to follow him, not because they were special, but because he just knew that he needed honest people, but also different people, to show that, you know, it's not about us or them, it's about him and him making a difference and calling us to a, you know, a higher calling, but also to leave our old life behind. So,
very powerful. Thanks, Matt.
So, when did you become a Christian? Do you have to think back?
Oh, look, being 44. I've had the privilege of leading some people to Christ and encouraging them in their journey, or at least pointing them to Jesus, and then obviously the Holy Spirit does does everything, you know, in drawing us and calling us and convicting us. But look, I have a testimony that, you know, it was a real light light and dark sort of really clear moment in my life, or at least period of time in my life back in year nine, where I felt a massive shift in my heart. And I'll take you back there. I was probably in year nine, in the lead up to, I guess, what I would call the moment where I felt that I was actually called and was choosing to follow Christ at that point. In the lead up to that, probably the 4 to 6 months before that, was probably one of the lowest points in my life to date at that time. So I just turned 15. I was dabbling in, you know, like music that wasn't helpful for me. I was listening to stuff that wasn't feeding my spirit and wasn't good for my soul. I was like the lyrics and even the themes that were, you know, like it was some pretty heavy stuff, like in hip hop and rap, but also in heavy metal and stuff like that. And these bands that I was listening to as a young boy who was, you know, growing up in the church and going to youth group and stuff like that, I guess I was trying to find myself, and I was definitely trying to fit in with, you know, whoever I was with at the time. And I was a bit of a chameleon, I reckon, because I'd go to youth group on a Friday night and say all the right things and, you know, do all the right things to a point. I definitely had a rebellious streak to me, even though I was a very shy kid. I definitely was trying to fit in a way that didn't sit well with me, but I didn't know anything else. I just was trying to, you know, be accepted and be loved. And I was doing that in a way that didn't really fulfill. And I was being someone I wasn't. I was essentially being a fake. So I'd go to church. I grew up in a Christian home. I'd go to a Christian school. I'd go to youth group on a Friday night. But then at school and during the week, I'd be, you know, like hanging out with, you know, other guys and just dabbling in things and thinking things and, you know, like doing things that weren't, you know, matching up with what I was saying, at least. Here I was being a bit of a fake, thinking I was a Christian up until this point, like simply by association, you know, like my parents were Christians, Christian school, going to church, going to youth group. And yeah, I didn't realize I was being a fake, but I was actually a fake because I, like, my heart had not accepted the truth, or at least didn't realize that I hadn't accepted the truth. And so I actually, during that year, in that 4 to 6 months just prior to the July where I came to know Christ for real, I hit a real low point. I remember, you know, just being at some really low points and even, you know, like walking home from school and having some suicidal ideations where I was envisaging, I was really low and just feeling so empty and so not happy and not at peace with who I was and what I was doing, that I remember walking along the side of the road and thinking, oh, would anyone care if I just threw myself in front of the traffic here? And I had a sense that something was holding me back, and I think that was the Spirit of God just, you know, being His creation and knowing that, you know, I knew I couldn't do it, but the thought that I was thinking it just, like, really disturbed me at the time, and I was really low. And I didn't realize that my mum realized that I was pretty low at that point in time too. And she prayed for me, and I found this out after I became a Christian, that she'd been praying for me through that, like, through my whole life, but really fervently through that period of time.
Oh, wow.
And she'd booked me into this camp. It's called junior high camp in the July school holidays of that year. And when she told me, I booked you into this camp, I was so reluctant. I was like, oh, I don't want to go to this camp. I just want to hang out with my mates. And I wasn't in a good way, but, you know, she didn't really give me the option. She just kind of said, oh, well, you're going. And she did kind of throw the caveat out there that, you know, some of your friends are going to be there from youth group. And so anyway, I end up going on this camp, and I distinctly remember, I can't remember who the speaker was, but I'll never forget, like, I was sitting on the floor in this room listening to this speaker just speak a really simple gospel message. And it was a message that I reckon I'd heard so many times growing up. And but it was like it was this bolt of freshness. This it was almost like I could taste it, and it was almost like a spotlight just went in on my heart. And wow. At that moment, I just came to this huge realization. I think this is really important. I came to a huge realization that, one, I was saying I was a Christian but wasn't, and I hadn't dealt with my sin. I hadn't come to terms with the fact that I was broken and that I was sinful. And that was a crucial moment for me. It was like my depravity just hit me in the face like a truck, and I just felt this sense of like calling at that point where an invitation where Christ was speaking to me through the scriptures and just saying, and this is why Romans 5:8 is so powerful to me, where it says, while you were sinners, Christ died for you. And I'll never forget that scripture where it's like, you know, I needed to realize that I was a sinner, but despite my sin, Christ has died and sacrificed himself so that I could be restored into relationship with him. And it was like this moment where it just hit me. But then there was this outpouring of like, well, I need to let you deal with this, Jesus. After hearing and come to terms with the fact that, wow, I'm hearing this gospel message for probably the thousandth time, but it's like it's actually hitting home for me, and it's actually changing my heart. And I, over the course of, I reckon at that point there was this outpouring of, you know, probably guilt, but also just a heaviness of like, you're forgiving me, Lord. Like you've already forgiven me, Lord. And then there was this weight that was lifted, and in the lifting of that weight of the burden of sin, there was this outpouring of emotion. I reckon I cried for probably 4 hours.
Yeah. Oh, so powerful though. So freeing.
Yeah. Amazing. And for a 15-year-old boy to want to go and just sit by himself and pray to the Lord and just pour out his heart, but also just feel that sense. Like, and these weren't tears of these were tears, they went from tears of brokenness to tears of joy. Where all this like emptiness and like doubt and lack of self-confidence and all this just brokenness that was kind of like just stirred up in me that I hadn't never really dealt with, God just started replacing that with peace, with confidence. And I felt like this injection of joy come into my life that I hadn't had for years. And so it was really this moment where it was like, I've called you, you're now following me, I need all of you. And it was like, I'm in, but I don't really know what this means. And so I went home and I just kind of, people noticed that I was different. My mum did, my sister did, my dad did, my friends did. And they were like, people noticed that I was different. My demeanor was different. The way I was thinking was different. The way I was speaking was different. I did have an issue with swearing prior to coming to Christ. And then that wasn't even a big deal. That was just like, no, potty mouth gone. Cool. And so it was this real moment when I was 15 years old. I was on this path where, like, it was leading nowhere, and then God just put me on this other path. And yeah, there's definitely been the journey has been. There's definitely been ups and downs since then. But one thing that's never wavered is my hope and joy that is anchored in Christ from that moment. And so, yeah, I felt like I was a new creation at that point, and it was very powerful. And so, people who know me well know that I don't do things in halves, and I just once I'm on board, I'm on board. Yeah. And there's definitely, as I said, there's definitely been moments where I've been like, this is hard, or like I may have gone through another challenge or speed hump or valley moment, but I've always sensed that Christ has been walking with me ever since that moment, whether it be through the valley of the shadow of death or up on the mountaintop or through the desert, like
He's been by your side.
And sometimes he carries me.
Sometimes he's carrying you.
Sometimes he's carrying me, like when I feel just broken and tired in the journey. So what am I now? Like, so it's nearly a 30-year journey, but like it's so cool. Yeah, it's been pretty powerful. So that's how I came to Christ. Wow. Yeah.
That's intense. That's great.
Yeah, that's amazing. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Nice. Wow.
So, guest keen to know, do you serve here at Gaimu Baptist Church? And if you do, what do you do? What do you do here?
Yeah, yeah. I've served in a few capacities at Gaimu. Currently, I guess during COVID, it's been a little bit up in the air and I've kind of stepped back a little bit. So big shout out to the music team and to the worship ministry team. That's a ministry that's been very dear to my heart over my time here at Gaimu. And that's probably been one of the biggest, outworkings of my serving at Gaimu. Currently on hiatus, and I've let Steph and the team know that I want to get back into it when I feel I've got the capacity to. But with my job during COVID and stuff, and starting a new role in my job, I just feel like just need to, get my head around that and look after myself and my family at this point in time. So kind of taking a step back a little bit at the moment, but also see part of my serving and part of my, I guess, using the skills that I believe God's given me in leadership and just, having a heart to just, help people where I can is through the life group ministry. I've been part of a life group for a number of years. And lead that. Lincoln Grice helps out with the leadership of that as well as an assistant leader. But yeah, take that on. But that's been a really challenging space during COVID.
Yeah, just different way of doing things. Yeah, isn't it?
Zoom's so hard at times. Oh, yeah.
And being on Zoom all day at work just makes it so hard to want to do it in that way. So we find other ways of trying to reach out and can't wait for the restrictions to be eased so we can actually meet up in person.
Happy days.
I'm
going to be shooting a confetti cannon, I think, if I can find one.
Can't wait. But, yeah, so getting back together with the life groups is going to be amazing. But, I think they're probably the key areas that I've served him at Gaimu. I guess in the life group space, I was part of the life group steering committee a couple of years ago and just, trying to help that get into, the new space that it's becoming. And that's a continued journey. But, yeah, nice. They're the main two areas that I serve.
Yeah, that's really good. And what about in the local community? Is there any opportunity for you to serve in the local community?
One part of my life that I see as a massive calling and responsibility is just to for Mel and I just to try and bring our girls up in the Lord, for them to know Christ, and to try and foster some enthusiasm to read the Word and to pray and to see them reach their friends. Always looking for new ways of doing things, one thing I did, this is a few years ago now, but it was such an inspiring time. Used to run a evangelistic skating ministry out at Narellan.
Oh, cool.
Cool. So I used to be a skateboarder back in the day.
Skater boy.
I was a definite skater boy.
He's got a cap on here, people, just so you know. He's coming.
I'll put it backwards.
backwards. There we go. Forwards. I'm sorry. The real deal.
Yeah. The real man. So the guy that I used to do some gospel hip hop with, Adam Breen, shout out Breeny. To Adam. You probably won't hear this, but he lives in Queensland now. But I love that man. He and I were doing gospel hip hop, and we can come to that later. But
Three Nails,
that's it. That Adam Three Nails, that's it. Represent the El Shaddai crew. We started doing a bit of gospel hip hop stuff, but we also at pretty much the same time started up this evangelistic Monday night. It was like a youth group, but church kind of rolled into one. We'd skate, we'd eat, we'd meet around the Word, and then we'd hear a testimony, and Adam or myself would give a short message. And these are kids that were totally unchurched, and we started off with like a handful of kids, but towards the end of our ministry out there at Narellan at a skate park was we'd have up to 40, 45 kids that would come to skate, hang out, be connected in a community. And skating's such a beautiful subculture because it's like when guys get together and they can do something together. And we had a few girls come as well, which is fantastic. And, you know, we started getting some young youth leaders and stuff like that. And for that period of time, we saw some great and we tried to connect those young people into local churches as well.
Because
we were living out this way in the Shire, yet we were traveling out to the, you know, southwestern Sydney and seeing all these young kids just hungry to connect. But we were trying to connect them with Jesus. And it was actually called JC Skaters. And you know what? The motto, the stickers that we used to have one of my favorite verses, Romans 5:8. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us was the verse that was connected with that ministry.
Great.
And so who knows the seeds and the fruit that's come out of that. But that was all part of that. And bouncing off that in that culture, I guess the gospel hip hop, where the El Shaddai crew kind of got birthed and where we wrote a bunch of tracks and songs, and then we recorded two albums, and then we had the opportunity to tour and go into schools and juvenile justice centers and
that's amazing. And, what a ministry to have,
And you know, like,
because it's the unchurched, that's the people that are in that realm that listen to that type of music, they can get reached by that kind of music too. So if they listen to secular hip hop, they can get reached by Christian hip hop.
That's what absolutely. I like about it. It's a
beautiful thing.
And it's kind of like what you were talking about earlier on in your journey, where the power of music and the power of word, you know, to have a positive word spoken through hip hop music is so powerful.
Yeah.
And positive word, a positive reinforcement.
Absolutely.
To build people up and to give people hope.
Well, there's so much of that subculture or that genre in music that, you know, is the opposite of that, right?
Definitely.
It's, you know, it's chauvinistic, it's demeaning, it's selfish, it's glorifying things and the world and everything world in between. And not God, but and there's a lot of Christian artists out there in that genre that are trying to take it back or at least use that medium to reach. And so we were unapologetic, you know, in our preaching of Jesus through our lyrics and trying to be as biblical as we could and as positive as we could. Yep. And that was a moment in time. And so that, you know, even though, you know, like I still get students at school asking me to, you know, spit out a rhyme or you know, represent. Can you do a freestyle, sir? Or, you know, and I do oblige from time to time. But, you know, like some of our lyrics from that era of my life, you know, that's like 2007, I think, was when our last tour happened. So it's going back a few years now. Mm. But, I also think about the seeds that were planted all over the, you know, up and down the east coast of Australia when we visited schools or churches or youth ministries or justice centers or even just doing outdoor festivals, you know, like you just don't know. And I just pray that, you know, God can still use that not only the lyrics but what we were trying to embody in that ministry at that time. I've always thought, and I still love to write music and lyrics and stuff like that, and it's not always in the hip-hop genre, but I just figure if whatever I can do, whether it be sport, music, anything in between, or even just like hanging out at the coffee shop with, you know, someone, God, can you just use me for your purposes? And sometimes I don't always feel the nudge that the Spirit is giving me often. And I think that's about being attuned to the Spirit and really, because I think the Holy Spirit nudges us all the time to speak something or to say something or to do something in certain circumstances. And I'm not attuned to that nudge, and sometimes it's after the fact where I'm like, oh, that was a good opportunity, I've missed it. But we don't need to worry, because God will be constantly giving us opportunities and equipping us and helping us become more attuned to what he's trying to do. Because God's doing stuff even before we're doing it.
Mm. Yeah, that's right. You know?
And
yeah.
I think we've just got to be obedient and step into those opportunities where we can. And yeah.
And God never wastes an opportunity.
Oh,
yeah.
Never. No, you know, even if it becomes a teaching opportunity for us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. God's like, I'll use that on you now.
Yeah, that's right, that's right.
Lifelong.
That's right.
Yeah.
So who has been the most significant in supporting you in your Christian walk?
Wow.
Like a family member or friend or pastor or something like that. One of them.
I'm gonna give a few shout outs in this.
Yeah, no worries.
In this bring moment, because I definitely want to shout out to my parents. Even though I'm very different to my parents in so many ways, and they would agree with me with that. One thing I do, I'm starting to get a bit emotional about this. Hello, Mum and Dad, if you listen to this. Roger and Rhonda Tomlin. I probably didn't appreciate them as much as I should have when I was young. They sought to bring me up in the Lord, and they dedicated me to the Lord when I was one. I want to give a big shout out to them, because my mum's a prayer warrior. My dad is just a faithful guy who just seeks to do his best for the Lord. And even though I know they're not, you know, they're humans who make mistakes, and you know they've got their own stuff that they've had to deal with over the years. But like they've definitely been faithful parents in the Lord who have been quite consistent, and have a lot of respect for them in that. So they've been really instrumental in, shaping my openness and my heart towards the Lord, even though I didn't realize it at the time. And, but then around the time when I was like that moment where I came to Christ, one of my youth pastors, Mike Parker, hey Mike, if you hear this, he's up in Toowoomba now. He's not in youth ministry anymore, but he was an awesome guy, and he ended up baptizing me as well. Oh, and cool. I probably should have got baptized a lot sooner than I did. I got baptized 2 years after I came to Christ, simply because I said, oh no, I can't be ready to be baptized, can I? But looking back, I should have got baptized straight away, because it's not about being ready. It's not about being ready. It's just about being obedient, and it's an outward symbol of what's going on inside. And so anyway, but he baptized me, and he really encouraged me to step into not only faith and, being everything I could be in Christ, but he really encouraged me to explore leadership and what it meant to be a Christian, a young Christian man who could actually make a difference with his non-Christian mates at soccer, at basketball, at school, at university, and he encouraged me to sing. I'd never sung in front of people before, and he encouraged me to sing.
Oh, what a blessing that's been.
He encouraged me to sing, and he said, hey, I heard you singing at youth the other night. You've actually got an okay voice. Do you want to get up and lead at youth, like lead a song? And I was like, for a shy kid who'd just come to faith, yeah, but was trying to be obedient and trying to build his confidence, I remember just thinking, inside I was thinking, no.
Not but right
but
now.
I think on the outside I said, yeah, I'll do that.
Yeah.
I remember leading my first worship song at youth on a Friday night, and this is probably when I was 16 years old. And it just felt right, even though I probably did a terrible job at leading. I was just trying to be obedient and be who I think God was calling me to be, just to be authentic. And from there, I had the opportunity to, start leading at church and finding my voice, so to speak. And from there, my passion for singing and for writing music and even though I don't consider myself to be a musician, because I'm not one of those dedicated musicians that can play everything. I play drums, I dabble in guitar, I do sing, but I'm not dedicated enough to be a inverted commas musician. But I dabble with music, but I definitely feel like it's a place where I can express my love, yeah, my appreciation for God. So that's kind of where my heart for worship came from, and had plenty more opportunities to lead worship over the years, and that's been great. So I can't remember what the original question was.
Any other shout outs to people?
Oh, yeah, shout out. So Mike Parker, yeah, big shout out to him, my youth pastor. Over the years, I think definitely I'm going to give a shout out to my good mate. These are the guys that were in my bridal party. My closest mates, some of who are not still walking closely with the Lord, but I we're still close mates, and I still believe that they do have a faith there.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give a shout out to my bridal party. I'm not going to name them all, just because they probably won't appreciate me naming them. Cool. I've got some.
They know who they are.
Yeah, I've got some awesome guys from my bridal party. Matt Destry, shout out to Matt Destry.
Yeah, old school.
He's in ministry down in Melbourne. Matt Destry, big encouragement to me.
He's cool.
Yeah, and lots of work colleagues, really my wife. I do want to give a big shout out to my wife. She, you know, I think one thing I've realized since becoming a husband and a father is, and I think a lot of people would say this probably, but and it's probably not news to anyone, but I became so acutely aware of how selfish I was when I got married and then again when I became a father. And Mel, through some hard moments over the last 10 years, we've been married for 11 years now, she has been an absolute rock for me, and very even when I went through some postnatal depression after the birth of our third child. Mm-hmm. Yes, guys can get postnatal depression.
Yeah, it is a thing.
It is a thing. Yep. I was living on a couple of hours sleep a night for many months, and so that could lead you into some pretty low moments. And
sure.
Yeah, I got the help I needed from Christian counsel and stuff like that. But my wife, big shout out to my wife, who we made a covenant under Christ when we got married, and she's just been so amazing and gracious with me, and that Jesus has ministered to me through my wife, and that's been amazing. And she'll probably hate me saying all this, but she's an absolute legend. And for those of you who know her, she's just such a blessing to so many people, and I admire her in so many ways. So there's been so many people, and even some of the artists, I'm not going to name them all, musicians that have really, and authors and people that have spoken to me over the years through their writing or their playing, and have ministered to me. There's been so many people that have contributed to me staying on the straight and narrow and just, navigating life's ups and downs. So,
And it's really good because I think, what you've shared just shows it's not a single journey. There's many people around you in the community to help support one another and, just be there for one another along our faith journeys.
Absolutely, absolutely, yeah. And there's probably some people I've forgotten, but there's so many people.
You know who you are, people.
I mean, even you guys have been a big encouragement to me at different points in the journey. There's so many to mention. Don't you reckon
you lose count, I think. Yeah, don't worry. The people know who they are and they're much appreciated.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And that old saying where it's like it takes a village to raise a child, I reckon it takes a village to raise an adult in their journey of faith,
God's got so many angles he's working, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And through the meandering through different seasons of your life where certain people come in at certain points in time for that gentle or encouraging word or just to share that specific season with, people come and go in and out of your life. Like a lot of – even some of my bridal party have moved, interstate. I think most of them are in Australia, but we don't see each other as much as we would like to. But different people for different seasons. Mm. But you never forget the people who've had the lasting impact on you. And I just can't wait to celebrate with everyone in heaven.
Remember those days?
And even people that you've possibly never met, the gospel writers and the heroes of our faith from that have written all these amazing books, even since the Bible. I just there's amazing, so many people right? you could, yeah, so many people you could give shout outs to and that you want to hang out with
yeah.
more.
That's right.
Yeah.
So we might head into the main faith story now.
Ooh.
So what was the significant turning point or faith story in your life where you've seen or experienced God at work?
Yeah. Yeah. Again, I've got a lot, but yeah, big turning point for me was again, I was on a retreat with a, you know, a bunch of Christians on a campsite, and I felt like I'd obviously been called to faith, and I've already shared that story, but in this moment, I felt in prayer, and I was just in prayer, and I felt like the Lord really impressed on me a bit of a vision in prayer, where and it came in a few different parts. The first bit was of the vision. I was just like following this figure, and it was all like, it was dusk and it was silhouetted, and this figure was out in front. And at first I'm like, oh, I'm following a figure, and this is all in my mind's eye in prayer, and I just felt like God was speaking to me in the moment, and I just got the sense that this figure that I was following was Jesus, and it made sense, and that, you know, and I couldn't make out anything but just this silhouetted figure that I was following, but I was just following, and then it became clear that I was following him towards the cross, and this hill where the cross was, and then the next part of I guess this picture that God was giving me was, you're following me, and where are you following me? You're following me to the cross, where you need to lay everything down. And then I felt compelled to turn around in this picture, and behind me there were, like, I didn't realize, but there were people behind me. Wow. And I couldn't see their faces, but I could see all these silhouetted figures. And I was like, oh, wow, there's people following me. What? Oh, I'm following Jesus. So it's not even about me. God wants me to be a leader in my life. And I didn't really know what that meant at the time, but since that moment, and I was probably about 19 at the time, where I had that picture that God gave me in prayer, and he impressed that on me, like, and he made me. It was like a watershed moment where it was like God was saying, "You need to remember this moment." Mm. And I didn't really know why. It was kind of like, okay, this kind of makes sense, but I was like, what does this mean? But it's almost become a bit of a, how do I put this? It's almost become the vision statement for my life, in the sense that I know God calls me to be a leader, but like Moses, I am a very reluctant leader.
Mm.
I can think of a million excuses to not be who God wants me to be. Right?
Send Aaron, God.
I'd rather sit on the couch and watch Netflix, or I'd rather just tune out here, God, or whatever. But God always reminds me of that picture that he gave me. And he reminds me that it's not about me. It's about following Christ, but it's also about being obedient, knowing that if I'm following Christ and being obedient, he's going to provide me with the opportunity to lead other people to Christ. And whenever I've doubted myself in the different seasons and moments and opportunities that God has put me into over the years in my faith journey, he always reminds me of that picture, because it encourages me to know that his calling is greater than anything that the world can throw at us.
Yeah,
and definitely. That he will make a way. And even when we can't see, you know, like, there's been moments where I've been like, oh, what kind of a leader am I? You know, like, what have I got to offer? And doubting myself, he'll always provide an opportunity for me to step into that surprises me, or that just either takes me out of my comfort zone, or just reinforces areas that he's working on in me and refining me in. But it's been a really encouraging thing to know that when God places a call in your life, he's serious about it, but he won't give up on you, even if you sometimes feel like you've given up on that.
Yeah.
And there's definitely been some moments where I felt like I've given up, or just lost the forest through the trees, or things just haven't seemed clear or focused, and I'm like, God, what are you doing in this season?
Mm.
But he'll always just show me that, you know, he does surprise us, and he does provide opportunities that we wouldn't necessarily expect. And leadership isn't always about being that upfront person.
Mm-hmm.
It can be about just being available. And, you know, like even if one person is behind me and I'm saying, hey, I'm following Christ. Do you want to come along, or can I encourage you in any way? Can I walk beside you as we go together and try and figure this faith journey out? Because let's face it, we make mistakes, we stumble, we feel like we're treading, you know, not getting anywhere sometimes. But I think that I just constantly am reminded of God's faithfulness to the call, of his call to bring you into his family and to adopt you in, but also to empower you with the Holy Spirit to do the good works that he's called us to do. It's not about us.
No, that's right.
It's not about us. It's about saying, hey, God, I trust you. I'm following you. You've got to make this happen because I'm probably going to stuff this up, but by your grace, you're going to make a message out of my mess, or you're going to make something beautiful out of my brokenness. Because I look at all the leaders in the Bible, and I'm, you know, like David, Moses, Noah, you know, like just to name a few, even a bunch of the disciples, you know, like they had their idiosyncrasies and their issues and stuff like that. And I've got plenty of those, but I know that God is faithful to the call, and he will use whatever we can, even if it's small, whatever we can bring, and to say, hey, Lord, I'm willing. So, So that's been something that's been massive for me in my faith journey, just remembering that it's God who calls, and we just need to keep our eyes on Christ. And I remember I can even picture that moment, that moment of prayer where, like, it's like, yeah, don't spend too long looking behind because you've got to keep your eyes on Christ. There's that. That's been a big part of my journey, and I keep getting reminded of that over the years. But apart from that, more recently, it's just realizing that, you know, when you are going through a hard time, that it's really good to not just make everyone think that you've got everything together. I reckon over the years, God has really – I used to be pretty shy – I've become a bit more confident, but also I've learnt the art of becoming a bit more vulnerable and being a bit more, authentic and real in my brokenness. So I guess what I would encourage anyone who's out there who might be feeling like they, you know, struggle with that, a big help for me has been just being able to share some of my, you know, like brokenness with people, like things that I'm struggling with, and just, feeling comfortable to say, hey, I don't have everything together, and I need you to encourage me, you know, whether it be a friend, and just saying, hey, I'm having a tough day, like this week hasn't been okay, or, you know, like reaching out to, you know, get some professional help if you need it. If you're struggling with a mental health issue, you know, like there's, you know, even though there's stigma attached to that stuff, it's really important that we break that stigma down and go, like, we're all in this together, and being real and knowing that God has placed people in your life to support you. And that's what being part of the family of God and the, you know, the body of believers is all about, leaning on each other and encouraging each other.
Definitely.
And you know, just realizing that recently, but also being reminded of that over the years has just been, you know, so crucial and like just massive breath of fresh air and just relief when you just go, I don't have to have all my stuff together.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to have, you know, have all the answers. It's okay to not be okay.
Yeah.
But are God, you okay? It's okay to be not okay.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. But God doesn't want to leave me there, and that's why, that's, you know, right, like,
you move forward.
We're part of a collective.
Yeah.
So how are you following Jesus? Like, Matt Tomlin, strip back all the stuff we've just talked about, and how are you following Jesus, just you and God?
Right now? Yeah. I think to just strip it right back and just, to, you know, cut to the chase, it's got to be a daily journey. What I try and do every morning, just set my mind on heavenly things, you know, Colossians 3. Set your mind on heavenly things, not on earthly things. And so I want to be connected with the King. I want to be connected with Jesus. I want to abide and be connected to the vine. And to do that takes commitment and it takes intentionality. And so just like I was sharing about that picture that God gave me in prayer many years ago about following him, you know, you choose to follow someone. And so how does that play out for me? It's when I wake up, even though I'm tempted just to look at, you know, socials or flick through whatever, the first thing I try and do is just say a breath prayer of like, Lord, be with me today. Help me to be who you need me to be today. And it doesn't, you know, like, I'm not the best in the mornings. Let's face it. Like, I'm not a morning person. I can get up pretty quickly, but I'm not functional until I've had my coffee, really. But simply just saying that short, what I'd call it with my kids, a popcorn prayer, where it's just short, you know, short and sweet, to the point. A breath prayer, you know. It's the way I start my day. And then, you know, if I'm working from home, it's like before I open the laptop, or if I'm on a short commute out to Bangor to Innaburra, it's, you know, like in my car, I try and, you know, just pray or just put on a worship song and just, you know, commit whatever I have to Jesus that day. And so, yeah, and it's when I go about my daily thing. Sometimes when I'm walking to my next class, or when I'm going to meet a student or a colleague, or before I talk to the barista at the coffee shop, or whoever I'm interacting with that day, just those little moments, I'm like, Lord, be with me in this moment. Show me what you're doing in this moment. And it's that knowing that Jesus goes before me. Like, I literally, I'm a real picture and visual thinker. So I actually like to think of Jesus going before me in every moment. So it's like going through a door before me. It's almost like, I don't say, hey, Jesus, you're in. I don't like open the door and just then wait. But like, it's this sense of like Jesus goes before me, and it's a real subtle thing. Like, I don't like, it's not it's almost become just something that is part of who I am, rather than me consciously thinking it in every moment. It and it, you know, like so. That's essentially what it is for me, cool. And just trying to be faithful and real. Not trying to be a Christian that is so heavenly minded that they're of no earthly good. I just try and be relatable, to listen. I think people just want to be heard. There's a lot of people that are struggling and need Jesus, and so when you give them an opportunity to be heard and to hear their story. Because I think that's what Jesus did, right? And just being a real person. So when you get those opportunities, rather than just thinking about, oh, what's the next thing I got to do? What's the next thing I got to do? Actually being in the moment. You know, I think Jesus is teaching me to be better at being in the moment. Because I'm a forward thinker and a planner, and sometimes that hinders me from being in the moment with people.
Yep.
But God is continually trying to remind me and refocus me and refine me in the art of being in the moment with people and sharing that moment. So, because people want to be heard, right? People,
yeah, definitely.
We need to hear their story.
Mm. Yeah.
People,
yep.
People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And so if you can show them in that moment, however long that moment is, that you are with them and that you genuinely are interested in what they're saying and their story and their journey, mm. Whether they're a Christian or not, I think that's a powerful way of being like Jesus.
Yeah. Definitely.
Oh, man. That's so good. So it's been so amazing having you on tonight, Matt, and hearing your story and going back to the days of the hip hop, and I didn't even know you did skateboarding ministry. That was amazing.
Mm.
So encouraging to hear what you've had to say tonight, and it's just been a real blessing having you on. Thanks for coming on. And yeah.
Yeah, it's been really wonderful, really powerful. And just to hear what God's been doing in you and through you from such a young age is so encouraging, and to know that he's got so much more to come still, and, you know, God will use all opportunities, and, you know, just some of the ones that you've shared with us tonight are just such an encouragement, and, you know, we really hope that it helps inspire and encourage other people listening to this as well.
Thanks, Brianna. Thanks, Adam. It's been good being on. And I just want to encourage you guys.
Thanks.
You guys are doing a great job, and yeah, I hope that there's many more of these podcasts to come. Want to hear more stories?
There shall be. I pray there will be too. Well, all the best, Matt, and we'll see you after this next time.
You don't want me to send you out with a hip hop beat
or rap? All right, give us 4 bars.
Ooh, here we go. So this is my testimony in a nutshell.
Okay, here we go.
Tax collector is my name, but it's not my nature. At 15 years young, I found my savior. My life was turned around by a holy creator, just like Kobe and Shaq when they revived the Lakers. It's amazing grace. What more can I say? He took me from the K grade to the grade of A. But I gotta keep it real. It hasn't always been this way. I didn't always pray. I wasn't always saved. I used to live life only for myself. From Monday to Sunday, put God on the shelf. Never really caring about my spiritual health. I was living a lie and I needed some help. TC, that's me, has been through the valley of depression. A rebel in my youth, I've learned many lessons. I was searching for the truth, and this is my confession. I was trying to fit in a world of rejection. But now all I need is JC's protection. He fills me with purpose and redirects me, corrects me, and I've forgotten the lyrics there. it's been so long.
Mic drop, boom.
That was so good. That was so good.
Mic drop. Awesome, man. Thanks for coming on, and we will see you around GBC.
Yeah, thank you.
Peace out, guys.
Thanks for listening to the We Are The Church podcast. We hope this inspired and encouraged you on your own journey of discovery and faith. If you or anyone you know has a faith story to share, please get in touch with us.
You can reach us at office@guymebaptist.org.au. Also, if you would like to know more about Jesus, pray with someone, or come along to Guymebe Baptist Church, please check out the Guymebe Baptist Church website at guymebaptist.org.au.
Until next time, I'm Adam.
And this is Brianna saying, God bless and peace be with you.